So this is a little different from our usual podcast because, unlike most of the authors whom I have interviewed for the Campaign 2012 series, you had a co-author on this paper, and the co-author was me, which makes interviewing you or me or both of us a little bit tricky. So I thought we would just sort of do this as a conversation. I'd like to start with the question of how this issue is playing in the campaign. My impression is that, you know, this was an area where we sort of, everybody expected a few years ago that Republicans would run as, you know, with national security as sort of one of the issues at their backs, and it really hasn't worked out that way. It's kind of a dead issue in the campaign in some respects. I'm curious sort of what your sense of it is.
I think that's absolutely right, and I would say there are three reasons this has been a dead issue. The first, on counterterrorism at least, Obama has done very well by the criteria the Republicans usually use. So he's been very tough on terrorism. He's kept Guantanamo open. Most importantly, he is responsible or the one who signed off on the operation to kill bin Laden. So the things that you usually look at to see whether someone's tough or not, he seems to be doing well. Second thing is there has been no serious attack on the U.S. homeland. This is in part due to a very aggressive strategy, but it's also in part due to a bit of luck. Had the underwear bomber decided to try to have his bomb explode by going to the bathroom rather than doing it in a seat, we could see a very, very different narrative in the campaign today, where how did his administration allow people to die from that attack? So there's a bit of chance. And the third thing is, there are some very serious problems our country faces outside of national security. The depth of the economic problems in particular mean that most Americans, appropriately, I think, are focused outside foreign policy in general and counterterrorism in particular.
So for a while, I used to think that there was, you know, Obama's relative strength in this area was as fragile as the next event. That is, you know, if there were an attack tomorrow, it would be suddenly an area of real vulnerability again. And I've begun to think that that's not right, actually, that there's, you know, a sufficient accumulation of tough, energetic action that he's created a persona for himself that is not really subject to, instant revisitation in the event of some, you know, catastrophic event tomorrow. I'm curious if you think that's right.
I think that's right, but only to a degree. I think if there were a significant attack, let's say a major attack on a subway system or an aircraft that's brought down, certainly if you're an Obama supporter, I don't think instantly you become critical of the president. But this has always been a charge of the Republicans that Obama is not serious enough about national security. And this would be exhibit number one. And especially if there were deemed to be something wrong in oversight, in the president's performance, in coordination among different agencies, things that you could point the finger at the White House, I think this would become a campaign issue. I don't think it would be the number one issue or even in the top five. But I think we would probably end the silence we're seeing now and see a relatively low level but sustained critique on this issue.
And, I mean, the other interesting question is whether this is simply not a factor in most people's sense of the campaign or whether it's positively a factor in Obama's favor. My instinct, and I'm certainly not a campaign strategy analyst, is that it actually plays a subdued but substantial role in Obama's self-presentation now. There's this sort of meme that, you know, GM is alive and bin Laden isn't, right? And that there's a, that's actually a big shift from a time 4 years ago when his central promise was, yeah, we'll stay on offense, but we're really going to roll back a whole lot of things. And there's a very different way that they talk about themselves and the president talks about himself now than 4 years ago.
Certainly in rhetoric you see that. And I think having to grapple with some really tough issues, you know, should you kill an American citizen abroad, for example, that this has made the Obama administration, I think, move away from some of the, I'll say, hyperbolic rhetoric of the previous campaign and have a more serious tone towards what's possible and what's not possible. And in taking that tone, I think actually show that they've matured in terms of national security and that they're quite serious about these issues. I tend to see this as, historically, this has been an area of relative Republican political strength. And this, I don't want to say neutralizes it, but undercuts that. So whether it's simply less of a Republican advantage or a slight Democratic advantage, I don't think I have the expertise to say. But I do think there's been a shift, and it's quite real.
So one of the oddities of the whole area is that, you know, you have this rather strong record, just in terms of operational success, that has coexisted with a kind of domestic policy level disaster in terms of relations with Congress, with respect to, you know, Congress has refused to let the president close Guantanamo. It's refused to let him transfer people out of Guantanamo. It has sought to interfere with the president's ability to try people in the forum that he chose or bring people to the United States for trial. And there really has been a great deal of friction between Congress and the administration that's all predicated on exactly the vision of the way national security plays in electoral politics that has now been sort of moved beyond, which is to say the Republicans are, you know, eager through all of these confrontations to suggest that the president and the administration are insufficiently tough. They want to close Guantanamo. We don't want to close Guantanamo. They want to try people in federal courts. We want to try people in military commissions. And there's a, in that sense, a sort of discontinuity between the legislative politics, in which I think Obama has been just dramatically less successful than on the, you know, sort of operational components of counterterrorism, and the politics that we're talking about now. You know, you're not, your issue is operational counterterrorism, not the legislative politics of national security law. But I'm curious whether it seems as anachronistic from where you sit as where it does from where I sit, where we seem to, in my world, we're sort of constantly debating issues that seem to have very little day-to-day interaction with operational counterterrorism as it's taking place.
Looking at operational counterterrorism, there are two big issues I would focus on from a congressional point of view. One is, over the long term, you want congressional buy-in, because implicitly you're getting buy-in from the American people. And we saw the danger of this under President Bush, where he took some very strong positions right after 9/11, positions that at the time the vast majority of Congress supported, but didn't formally seek their buy-in, was almost disdainful of the need for congressional support. And then when the pendulum shifted, when there hadn't been an attack, when the American people were much less in, I'll say, not as in an aggressive mood, there was a lot of congressional criticism of the Bush administration for doing things I think most of the American people wanted them to do in 2002. And so if you want robust counterterrorism policies, you want that buy-in. You want policies that can be sustained over decades. And when you don't have that buy-in, to me, it's very risky for the operators, because they feel that if they make one mistake, if public mood changes, that they're going to be left dangling and they're going to be the ones sacrificed. The other issue to me is that the Obama administration, although it's been tough on terrorism, has not pushed the legislature hard in ways that actually would help make counterterrorism more effective. And this, the particular thing in mind here I have is looking at the different trial options for suspected terrorists. The Obama administration, by not pushing back on Congress, by saying that, okay, effectively, we will not bring people back to the United States for trial, is removing one tool in the counterterrorism toolkit. And Republicans repeatedly derided it as weak, but it's something that was used in the 1990s. It was something that was used under President Bush. It's something that, under certain conditions, can be extremely effective. And unfortunately, from an operational point of view, this option is now diminished. And I wish the Obama administration had pushed harder.
Now, what the administration would say in response to that is that they made a tactical judgment that they couldn't prevent Congress from preventing them from insisting on military commissions or precluding the use of federal courts for the Guantanamo population, and that for that legacy population, which of course includes the highest profile terrorists we've got, they kind of acceded to congressional will, but prospectively they have been very assiduous in insisting upon the availability of federal court options, which are their preferred options for any future captures. Is that not a distinction that holds sway with you?
It's something. And I would say that, again, for future options, at times the federal courts may not be the best way to go. You want flexibility. But I think they avoided a political fight, and a political fight that even if they won it in terms of Congress, they would lose on the campaign trail, by not pushing Congress to allow some of the detainees in Guantanamo to be tried in the United States. And there would be advantages to trying some of those people. I think that they certainly could have pushed back. They could have pushed back harder. They could have called in favors. They could have put a lot more public pressure on this issue. Doesn't mean they would have won, but I think they certainly would have had a chance. But they made a rational political decision, but one to me that set back overall counterterrorism.
So let's talk about Romney. Romney has certainly not ceded the ground that he would be tougher in some respects. During the primary, he said some nice things about waterboarding and said some, you know, very nice things about Guantanamo. I mean, he does sort of seem to preserve that territory, but he does not talk about it aggressively. Do you think in practice there would, from an operational point of view, that he would be substantially different in any significant respect from Obama?
My instinct is Romney would be almost identical to Obama. I think that's in part because the shift from Bush to Obama was less dramatic than most people expected. Obama campaigns on getting rid of Guantanamo. There's an expectation, I think, among more liberal voices that things like the drone program would be much more constrained or even eliminated, when in fact it's greatly expanded. So to me, it's not that there would be continuity necessarily between Romney and Obama, and that should be surprising, but rather there's a considerable amount of continuity between Obama and Bush. And so Romney continuing that, as someone who I would put on the political spectrum as a bit more moderate than President Bush, is not a surprise to me.
I mean, the other component of it, in Danny Clydman's recent book, which details a lot of the debates within the Obama administration over drone strikes and other operational matters, there is this constant friction and tension between those who want to be more aggressive and those who want to be less, and those who are more anxious about legal constraints and those who were less anxious about legal constraints, with the president often sort of straddling very, very excited about killing Anwar al-Awlaki and not especially torn up about it. On the other hand, very anxious about about holding people at Guantanamo beyond, you know, without bringing them to federal court for trial. And so there's this, you do have the sense that the debate within the Romney administration would be a different debate, and that there wouldn't be this sort of left civil libertarian human rights flank of the debate, which does seem to, on a consistent basis in the Obama administration, A, be there, and B, lose. But I wonder if the fact of its being there actually affects the modality of its loss in a way that, you know, you might actually see, you might actually appreciate one if it weren't there and you didn't have that sense of restraint.
That's certainly possible. I mean, there's another way to look at it, which is because that debate is within the administration, we're not seeing, frankly, liberals nearly as harsh on Obama as you would expect, given, to me, the continuity between Bush and Obama. So the very aggressive drone program, the use of signature strikes, these are criticized by liberal voices, but it's very muted. And it's more seen almost as if, you know, the king means well, but his advisors are leading him astray. If it were a Republican, I think that muted criticism would be much more vocal on the outside. So instead of having the debate inside the administration, you'd have more pressure on the outside. But I do think you're right. I do think that the proponents of a more aggressive campaign recognize that they can only go so far within the administration. And so where they might be going for a mile, they'll instead go for 100 yards. And because they know that the president will only go so far and there will be other voices who oppose them.
So let's try to create a synthesis here. I mean, most of the policy, we both seem to agree, is a matter of consensus at this point. That is, you want to stay on offense. You don't want to let up. Second, at least from my point of view, I think it is really important in the interests of the sort of buy-in that you were describing earlier to settle relations with Congress and to have some kind of, if not legal framework in which you conduct these things, at least an agreement that it's every time we have a Defense Authorization Act, we're not going to have a sort of major fight over the nature of the policies. And number three, there are these weird sticking points, Guantanamo being one of them, that just seem like at this point we should be able to do away with and agree on. Do you think there's any components of that package that's substantially easier if Romney wins or if Obama wins, or are they really just, you know, we're at the stage of synthesis and consensus, and let's sort of put it aside and get it done?
It's always going to be easier for one side of the political spectrum to stand up to its own partisans. So if Romney, say, wanted to effectively close down Guantanamo and put in new procedures, he would have a much better chance of getting legislation through Congress than Obama would, just because his own critics and his own party would be less likely to criticize a president of their own. But that said, he's probably not going to do so, right? He personally may not believe in it, but also he's not going to go against his base on an issue that would not get him much. So
no, the much more likely thing, in fact, is I think he should, is for Obama to face the music and realize that Guantanamo is not going anywhere.
Right. But the question is, I think for both sides, for something like Guantanamo, they realize it's much less politically costly to just allow limbo to continue than to actually try to change it and formalize it. And I think that we can call that consensus, or we could just call it exhaustion. But I think that we're not going to see dramatic change regardless of who wins.
On that cheerful note, thank you for coming back.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.